You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Heard about Anchor. It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Back here on another Monday, just to recap what happened this week in the NFL. And with me is the one, the only resident Jet fan, Danny. How we feeling today?
I mean, you know what it is, like you said, but you know, a lot better than I was yesterday. You know, I got 24 hours to process everything, and you know, we're doing better today. We're rational today.
No, I got you. Just had to ask. That's all.
Appreciate asking.
No problem. That's what I do. So before we get into our games, obviously it's a hot button. We're just going to run down everything that we see here. I just want to touch upon Thursday's game quickly because I had a three-leg parlay for this game. Two-thirds of it hit, which I got called ballsy for because I picked Washington to win out like money line and then Washington, but the Giants to cover 3.5.
Do they let you do that in Canada? Because anytime I've ever bet, it's you can't mix the money line with the spread. So that's actually really cool that you were able to do that.
Literally, yeah, it got legalized less than a month ago.
Oh, wow. No, I know. So all right. So I've been betting for years now. And usually, like, when I would make a parlay, it's either you have to pick one or the other. You can't combine money line and spread on the same game. So that's pretty cool that you were, you know, given the option to do that. I know the over hit, so it kind of ruined your ticket, but... You know, you can win some money doing that, bro. You can definitely win some money doing that.
That game, like, screamed to me, like, you know, 20 to 17, like, 17, oh, yeah. 14. It screamed, like, under. That's why I went with the under.
100%. And that's the thing with these games, man. When all logic points to it going over or all logic points to it to go under, it the opposite always happens, man. You know, like, 6 times out of 10. So, you know, that's sports betting for you, man. Yeah. You'll learn.
There's a Barstool Sports podcast called Dime Package. It's hosted by Fran and Casey, two women who work there. And Casey made a great point. She's like, you always want to bet the over because you're always rooting for points. It's like for the under, you're almost rooting for like a shitty football game.
I think especially earlier in the season, I think the offenses are a little bit more ahead of the defenses. You know, the defenses start to settle in later in the year, you know, when it gets cold out and stuff. But yeah, no, I think there's been a lot of overs so far to start the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, no. I see, like the only unders I've really seen so far is, like, New England hit theirs in their first two games and then a couple other teams here. But there's just some easy ones, like, including last night's, which we'll get to later, the Sunday night game. I knew that was easy money taking that over.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Easy money. But the only thing I'll have to say about, because that was the thing I love, like, we've kind of been thankful for good primetime football so far.
Yeah, man. So it's been surprisingly well, you know. I didn't really pay attention to the week one Sunday night game with the Rams. You know, I just had no interest in watching that. But, I mean, apparently Stafford balled. He looked really good. You know, the Monday night game that followed, the Vegas one, was awesome. You know, the Thursday night game, not that it was awesome. It was surprising more so than anything. You know, I know we're going to get to that right now. And then, yeah, last night's Sunday night game was really good. So we got to start here.
Yeah, exactly. But the Rams Bears too. Like, I was kind of like in and out of it because like last Sunday was such like a serotonin overload. But then like by the time like the 4 o'clock games are done, I'm like, all right, cool. I need a break. Like last night, I was like in and out of watching the 4 o'clock game, so like it wasn't like anything too bad. But no, the only thing I'll say about like this past Thursday's game is just like if the Giants really want to be that team to take the next step, they have to really start, you know, closing in and like closing out games. Like they had a lot of chances to do that, and they let Washington march down the field with like no time left. And then the offside call it what you it is, but that game kind of showed, look, this team's still lacking discipline.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And, you know, if you're a Giant fan, you knew coming into the year your crutch was your defense. You know, that's what you leaned on if Daniel Jones wasn't going to be good, which you can't really point the finger at Daniel Jones for Thursday. You know, it wasn't his fault. But that defense was getting torched, man, in every situation possible. And I know fans want to, you know, like point to that Dexter Lawrence really wasn't offsides. It's not about that, man. You had multiple chances to take this game away and ice it, and you just couldn't do it, you know? And Taylor Heinicke isn't, you know, he's not special. He made some nice throws, but, you know, that decision to throw the ball to McLaurin and basically hand the Giants the game, you know, your defense got to come through for you there, man. You can't let them drive down the field and win that game. So I think it's time to panic if you're a Giant fan.
I think it's in the realization setting, and like, hey, look, we're not exactly as good as we thought they were. Because like, let me see here. Because like, if I'm looking at their schedule right now, like next week they have a gross game against the Atlanta Falcons, which gets buried in the 1 o'clock window. But their October is nothing to scoff at. You've got at the Saints, at the Cowboys, versus the Rams, versus the Panthers, at the Chiefs, versus the Raiders, and then your bye week, and then you get the Buccaneers. That's nothing to laugh at. I'd be shitting myself if I were a Giant fan. Like, you got to win it against Atlanta.
And the problem, yeah, that's what I was going to say. The problem is, like, you should be able to point to Atlanta and be like, yeah, that's going to be a win. But can you confidently say that? Like, they're going to go out and beat Atlanta? No, you know? Like, I might even pick Atlanta for this game. It just hasn't been good. The GM, Gettleman, went all in on this year. He mortgaged their future cap for this team. He thought this team was good enough to compete, make the playoffs. And, you know, the results aren't there. And this is how people lose jobs. Thank God you have the second first-round pick next year to fall back on. But, you know, the Giants need a lot of help, man. They went Tony in the first round this year. The guy can't even get on the field. You know, Aziz Ojulari, he's got 2 sacks. You know, they hit there, but, you know, the O-line – everyone knew, everyone said all offseason that Giants O-line is terrible, it's dog shit, and that's what it's been. And then you just lost your best guy, Nick Gates, you know, to a season-ending injury. Andrew Thomas hasn't been spectacular whatsoever. So, you know, if you lose to the Falcons, you know, in this market in New York, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing I'll say, too, is, like, the Kevin Gates injury, like, I actually missed it in real time, but I was kind of glad that I had to go on Twitter to find it, and that, like, Fox basically came out and said, yeah, we're not going to reshow it. Because I know back in the day, Fox, like other networks, they'll show that, they'll get all the angles of it. But I was really glad that, like, they, you know what, they were like, hey, look, it's too gross, we're not going to show it. Like, sometimes you got to respect the guy.
Yeah, no, I went and I saw it. I watched the replay because you find anything on Twitter. So I went and watched it. And yeah, that was a brutal one, man. And another one to bring up injuries. Saquon's not healthy, man. He doesn't look like the same guy at all. You know, like that one run, the big run he had down the sideline, old Saquon probably gets that in, honest to God. So if Saquon's going to be like this all year, that's just, you know, you're just at some point, if you're 0-7, 0-8, and he's still looking like this, I think you got to shut him down. You can't risk him, you know, tearing that ACL again.
Yeah, exactly. Because even too, I knew for fantasy this year, you had to fade him.
I definitely faded him.
Which, with other running backs, we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm just looking at the line right now. It's a 48.5 over under, and the Giants are a 3-point favorite going into Sunday's game. So we'll see what happens there. But let's just get into Sunday quickly. Broncos at Jags. More so than Denver looking good. Well, one thing I do want to say about the Broncos quickly before I get into Jacksonville. I know they play you guys this coming Sunday, but I want to see Denver's October is where I'm really going to judge them. Like, I'm not going to say, you know, 2-0, like they beat the Giants and the Jags, so it's like whatever. Their October is the Ravens, the Steelers, the Raiders, the Browns, and the football team. So that's 5 games. If they can escape that at 3-2, so say if they beat you guys on Sunday, they're 3-0, and then they're 6-2 going into November, then I'll say, okay, cool, hey, I think these guys are going to push to the playoffs. But if they crumble and only win 2 or even one game in October, then shit's going to start to get ugly down in the Mile High City.
Oh, definitely, man. I mean, but you can't fault them right now. They're playing who's on the schedule, and they're taking care of business. They were projected by many to be a playoff team, so the defense is showing up. And to be honest with you, this is the best Teddy's looked since, you know, probably his Vikings days. You know, he's really making plays. He's rolling out of the pocket. He's
a good game manager.
He's making good throws, man. So, you know, he's got the receiving talent there finally, you know, with Sutton. Sutton went off yesterday. You know, Noah Fant's a really good tight end. And you know, don't sleep on KJ Hamler and Tim Patrick. They're very reliable receivers too. And that's not to mention Judy. Judy went down. You know, they're doing this without Judy. So very impressed with the Broncos so far, man. I knew we weren't really too high on them in the offseason. You know, you thought Vic was gonna get fired, but you know, they're stepping up to the plate. And that's a tough ass division too, man.
For me, for the Vic Fangio stuff, it's just always been I feel like he's just too old school and stuff with his approach. That's where I was saying, like, look, hey, maybe you have to get, like, a new school approach. That's, like, why even with the game we're watching now, I felt like, hey, Jared Goff could be better because he's working with Anthony Lynn, who's a great OC. And also the fact that I feel like there's no pressure on him to win really helps him in his favor. One other thing I'll say quickly about the Denver Broncos is just, like I said, look, I feel like they could make the playoffs, but at the same time, too, it depends on how the Chargers do. They're also going to have to win their games in division.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, and the good thing is they're the three wild cards this year. So, you know, we all know the Chiefs are going to win that division, but that sixth and seventh wild card spot is going to get really interesting. So, I'm still not sold on Vegas. You know, I know they're 2-0, but I'm still not sold on them. The Chargers, they took the loss yesterday, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they took a loss yesterday. But, you know, I know a lot of people think the Chargers are ready to be, like, this great team. They might make it in this year, but they're, you know, probably still another year away. Very good improvements they made in the offseason. But, you know, if Denver plays competent football, you know, and Teddy manages the game, occasionally makes a spectacular play here or there, and then they just lean on that defense, I don't see why they wouldn't get in.
No, I got you.
It's week two, though. It's week two.
Exactly.
You know that.
It's week two. Still got a long way to go. Only other thing I'll say about Jacksonville is, did you see that silly little apology letter they posted?
Oh, them and the Falcons, too. They did that as well. But yeah.
Oh, Atlanta did it, too?
Atlanta did it, too. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah,
after 2 weeks, that's bad.
It's just like... There was so much hype in Jacksonville, and thank God Trevor went to Jacksonville, because if he was doing what he was doing in New York and he was a Jet right now, the media, I've heard way more Zach Wilson negativity today than you know, Trevor at all. You know, like, I'm barely hearing about Trevor, but Trevor's been equally as bad, man. So, I mean, I know that their franchise hyped up Trevor coming and being the savior and all this stuff, but you know, it hasn't looked good. Has not looked good.
It's just, you can't expect, like, when it's a team that went 1-15, you can't expect to, like, you know, just turn it around in a 6-month offseason window. It's going to take years before they get to a relevant contending stage. I don't have anything else out of this game except for, hey, look, the Broncos hit the money line, like I thought, easy money, and then they got me to 2-0 in survival. And now next week, the Cardinals go into Jacksonville, and, like, I'm tempted to take the Cardinals, just keep picking against the Jags in survival.
I think you might be able to win some money on an alternative spread line for the Cardinals. I think they're going to blow the hell out of them, you know? I think you might be able to take that spread and throw maybe a couple more points on that and get, like, a plus money line, because the Cardinals are nothing to blink at, man.
Well, I think so, too. But quickly, do we want to talk about what happened to Big Rats Boys yesterday? And he was at the game, too.
Oh, man. Yeah, we can definitely run by it. You know, I didn't get to actually watch these games. You know, I got home yesterday, whatever. It was a long train ride home from the stadium. You know, I watched the Sunday night game. And then today, I went through all the game highlights on the NFL YouTube and saw everything. But, I know Tua went down, and that sucks. Thank God he's okay. He'll be fine. It's not season ending or anything like that. But the problem for me is Brian Flores just gets torched by Josh Allen. You know, like, it's now been, what, this is a couple games now where, like, he's just blown the hell out. And this is Miami's, you know, this is their strength of their team. And if you want to go and compete for the division, you know, you got to be at least competitive with Buffalo. And Josh Allen wasn't that impressive, you know. It's just I think Miami, it was more so of Miami being bad. I don't know. What do you think?
I just want to look at the stat line right here, because Josh Allen, yeah, 17 for 33, 179 yards, two touchdowns and interception, only had a QB rating of 75.2. Mm-hmm. Like, the big day was Devin Singletary for 13 carries for 82 yards. My big thing about this game was, like, look, I know Big Rat's big thing on our AFC preview show last week, two were on together, was he just wanted to be 1-1. He thought there was a chance he could go 2-0 coming out of this whole thing, because they got the win against us last week, and then they beat, if they were to beat them. But I feel like for them to go 1-1 is not exactly worst-case scenario. I think it just makes this Sunday's game against the Raiders a lot more amped up for, hey, we're going to find out about a lot about both these teams.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. And I heard the podcast you had with him the other day, and he knew the importance of this Bills game of getting that win, you know, and unfortunately, you know, the Bills are still we panicked a little bit on them week one, but, you know, they showed up yesterday. The defense definitely showed up. You know, again, I know Tua wasn't in there, but they shut Miami down regardless. So for the Dolphins, I would give them another week to judge, to see what they really are against the Raiders. Like I just said earlier, I'm really not too sold on the Raiders. They should be able to beat them. But if not, you know, you might have to look a little deeper into what the Dolphins really are. I know I said at the beginning of the year, I was like, take the under on the win total, but, you know, we'll see.
Like I said, I think we'll find a lot more about them with Vegas this coming week. Moving on now, Houston, Cleveland. I don't think the Texans are – I'm not saying they're going to be like a playoff team or anything, but like I'm not saying they're exactly like this horrible team or anything.
Yeah, no, they're playing Thursday against the Panthers, so I think this is where you're really going to see, especially with Davis Mills in now for the next month or so, I think this is where you're going to really see them be the Texans. You know, if you remember last year, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they started 1-0, and, you know, Gardner Minshew, they were doing all right, and then they just faded off. I think that's the exact same scenario that's going to happen with the Texans. I think they're just going to be, like, overmatched with talent, and, you know, I don't know. We'll see if Davis Mills is anything, but I have nothing to comment really about the game. I didn't really look too much into it, but, you know, good. The Browns did what they were supposed to do. Did they cover?
No, they did not. That's the thing I was going to come into next, because Jacksonville last year, obviously they were 1-15. They were 7-9 against the spread. So I think Houston could be something similar where, you know, Houston has like a 500 spread record where you're, as Aaron Rodgers gets sacked on third down. Mm. So, I think that was a Wuzarike. Was it? Or
I didn't even see.
I just saw Rodgers go down. No, that's the only thing with Cleveland, not Cleveland, with Houston, is I can see them, you know what, they're going to lose a lot of games, but they're going to cover a lot of these spreads where, hey, like, you're going to see those obscure, like, you know, 14-point spreads and stuff like that, where it's just, like, people are going to think, hey, you know what, easy money, cover the spread, but in reality, no, they're going to, I think they may shock some people, because, like, even last year, too, Jacksonville had close games with, like, Cleveland, Green Bay, Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I'm not here saying they're going to win. I'm not here playing devil's advocate for them. I'm just saying they're doing there. And then this is the same thing, too, with Denver as with Cleveland. Look, Cleveland had to get a win here. They got the win. That's all that matters. And now Cleveland moves on to their week three game with another game they should win against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, man. No, once you start getting into those high mid to high like spreads, you know, 14 to 16 points, whatever the hell, you know, like Vegas has this shit down to a science where they know – you know, they're not going to lose their casinos to, you know, teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars and stuff like that, like, and the Texans and stuff, you know, like, the spread system is designed for a reason. So, yeah, no, Houston's definitely going to cover some spreads this year. Don't get me wrong. It's just, you know, about them winning outright, about them, you know, cashing actual money lines. Like, I wouldn't ever recommend you to put your money there.
Exactly. No,
what does the line open up for Thursday?
Against the Panthers? Panthers at 7.5.
I would take that all day. All day.
I think if you get over 8, that's when you start like leaning towards the underdog. But if it's under 7.5, if it's under 8, you take the favorite. You take the guy
I would,
that's favorite.
I would even, well, yeah, I think it's gonna move definitely. It might close out like 8.5. But while you can get 7, you know, potentially by that half point just so you push if they only win by a touchdown. But I really like that line a lot.
It's 43 is the over-under. I'm actually tempted to take the over in that game because we've seen, unless my only thing with that game is you take the over, and then because, like, my week one over was Tennessee-Arizona, and then, like, the Arizona defense just shuts down Tennessee. So I can see that where Carolina just shuts down the Houston offense. But
oh yeah,
we'll get into that later. Bengals Bears. The only thing I have to say about this is, look, this it was a game. It happened. There's nothing really to it. Like the Bears defense looked not like 2018, but the Bears defense, like when they had to shut down, they shut down.
Yeah, no. You know, Burrow threw, what did he throw? Three picks, right? Burrow threw three picks.
Yeah, Burrow went 19 for 30, 207 yards, two tutties, three interceptions with a 66 quarterback rating. You throw five interceptions, Adam Gase will show up in, on your sidelines.
Yeah, no. I mean, the big news coming out of this is Justin's going to be the starter going forward until Andy's back. Hopefully, Andy doesn't see the field again. There's zero point of ever putting that guy back on the field again. I know you got him to sign there. You told him he was going to be the starter, but hey, man, it's the NFL. Shit moves fast. You know, you had your chance. You got hurt, and now you know it's Justin's job. Let's hopefully he takes it and he runs with it.
No, exactly. That's the one thing you got to hope for is that Justin, now it's like you have the opportunity to capitalize. You have the opportunity to, you know what, go out there and do good. So do not waste this opportunity if you're Justin Fields. You nailed that one on the head. Same thing too with San Francisco Philly. I feel like this game really proved that, like, a big rat said this on Thursday. If Philadelphia gets hurt, they're screwed. Losing Brandon Graham, who's the other guy they lost? Brandon Graham and
the guard, right? Brandon Brooks?
I'm blanking on who the other guy they lost was.
I think it was the guard. I forgot his name.
Brandon Graham, and they lost somebody else. And also to Zach Ertz to COVID. But, like, Philadelphia's offensive line, man, it's just, if they're not healthy, they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, man. Our good friend Bobby was showing me his parlay yesterday, and I'm pretty sure it would have hit, but he put Eagles money line in there for some reason. And I'm like, what are you doing, bro? Don't do that. You know, I know you won week one.
It's wonderful. Podcasting sometimes doesn't exactly go to plan. But anyway, as we're back to recording now, you know, we're back here. We're going to talk quickly about – we just wrapped up Chicago-Cincinnati. Now it's on to San Francisco-Philadelphia. Only quick thing I have to say about this game is, like, look, Big Rat was right. I know you listened to Thursday's show, and he said if Philly stays healthy, they're good. If Philly doesn't stay healthy, they're not. Like, they lost Brandon Graham for the season to a torn Achilles. So, I think it's going to be tough sliding ahead for the Eagles.
Yeah, man, no. You know, they weren't expected to be a good team coming in. I know they got the week one victory, and Eagles fans were actually really excited about that because Bobby, who had screenshotted his parlay to me that earlier yesterday, decided to take Eagles money line, and I think if he didn't do that, he actually would have won some money. So, you know, it's just the Eagles they're another team that's just going to fade out. You just want to see progression from Jalen Hurts because, you know, I think that's who they're going to go with. And you want to see Devontae Smith develop, and I really don't know what else you could really look for, you know, if you're a fan of the Eagles.
No, I agree with you. I think, honestly, it's just more about, like, look towards the future if you're the Eagles. And then for San Francisco, meanwhile, I think you got to keep Jimmy Garoppolo in for as long as he's healthy.
Until he proves he's the negative problem and they're losing games because of him, no, you got to keep him in. Absolutely agree with that. Lance will have his time. You know, he'll get in there. But for now, you know, you don't even have to think about that scenario.
No, and even too, man, you know one guy, Phil's going to love to hear this, man, Deebo Samuels looked really good back from his first two games. I know he didn't play a lot last year, but Deebo Samuels healthy, man, it helps his football team out a lot.
Yeah, man. No, Deebo's he's a baller, man. The problem is, like, are we going to start to get Ayuk involved? Because, you know, he hasn't. I feel bad if you drafted Ayuk because he's done nothing.
I'm in a bunch of leagues that draft him, and one, I dropped him already. Like, even last year, too.
Wow.
He had the one moment, but this year I was like, you know what, all right, cool, second-year breakout season. But I think for as long as Deebo Smith is there and healthy, you can't really escape the whole you just can't escape it with him. Like, I think he's always just going to be, you know, like, kind of third fiddle because you got Deebo. You also, I'm trying to think of who all the other receivers are, but then, yeah, they need Ayuk to develop. But then also, too, guess what? You got one of the best tight ends in the damn league, so he's fighting for positions.
TV, watch your TV.
All right, cool. Also, too, like, Hasty, Jennings, Kittle. Jesus Christ, Kittle only had 17 yards yesterday.
Oh, yeah, no, Kittle's another guy. He hasn't been doing anything.
Four receptions, yeah, 17 yards. Oh, nice touchdown, Hawk. Yeah,
dime, absolute dime. Might have to start panicking if you're Green Bay here. But, San Francisco is getting it done with their defense right now. As far as their offensive talent, like you said, Deebo, he's a baller. They're having problems at running back. Kittle isn't doing anything. Ayuk isn't doing anything. And yeah, they're just winning games. They're a very well coached team. We all know that. And they should be in it at the end, you know, fighting for a wild card, fighting for the division. Who knows?
Yo,
that division's insane.
Yo, the fucking toe drag that Hockenson just did there was unbelievable.
Hock is a bowler, man. Bowler.
I think you seriously got to consider for the tight end rankings for this year. I still have the top three. I still have Kelce, Kittle. I probably put Kelce, Waller, and then I still put Kittle until I'll prove otherwise. But I think after that, you got to go Gronk and then Hock.
You would go Gronk. Wow. I would have said Mark Andrews. You know,
Mark Andrews too.
Yeah, I think Andrews is in there. I think Hock just, you know, these are two back-to-back really good weeks now that he's put together. He's going to be in there. Gronk, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully Gronk's in there. I mean, he's been bowling, right? What does he have, 4 touchdowns already?
Yeah, honestly, if Gronk's the same kind of thing, though. As long as Gronk stays healthy, he'll do Gronk things.
Yeah.
One thing I was going to say back to San Francisco Philly quickly. You know how last year everyone was going crazy over Clyde Edwards-Helaire for fantasy, which same thing with this year too, and it's going bad? I think that's Trey Sermon for this year, man. He has not looked that good so far.
Yeah, man. I took him early in one of my leagues, man, and it's just been I mean, I know he was probably in line to get touches yesterday. I know he went down his first play with a concussion, but, you know, it's not looking too great for me.
No, exactly. I picked up Elijah Mitchell on FAB, and I only spent $10 to get him, but we'll see.
I would say if you can stash someone in your league, look at Jeff Wilson when that guy comes back, because that guy won a lot of people money and a lot of people leagues last year. So, I don't think he's just gonna go away.
He fucking burned the Patriots last year.
Yeah, if he should be available in your leagues, you know, pick him up and stash him.
Yep, you know, for sure. I also love going on TikTok and seeing everybody being like, yo, you got to go get this RB1. You got to go get this guy. He's only in, like, this amount of leagues. And then they'll, like, talk about it. And then they'll say at the end, and by the way, this is the player, which there is one that I got later, which I know is only available in a small amount of leagues, but I'll save it for later. Moving on next, Saints-Panthers. We were talking about this off camera, man. I think this Panthers team could be a playoff team this year.
Legit, man. And
top 5 D, like you said.
Good for Sam Darnold to get into this. Another, I know I'm going to bring it up with the Patriot game, but situation matters, man. Every other play, he's dumping the ball down to McCaffrey, and McCaffrey's just making it happen. Sam also made nice throws. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not taking credit away. That guy,
DJ Moore, had a game.
Yeah, DJ. I have DJ on my team, on one of my teams, and he had he was getting target after target. You know, he made I forgot the one guy's name, some random guy. Beautiful touchdown to him. And then you lean on that defense, man. I tweeted last week after week one. I said the Panthers are going to finish with a top 5 defense. And I really don't see how you didn't see this coming, because last year, you know, the potential flash, another year in the system, you know, they got some new players, a couple new players, but mainly held on to what they had last year with Jeremy Chinn, Derrick Brown, Brian Burns, you know, added Hassan Reddick, added J.C. Horn, who should have had 2 picks yesterday. And, yeah, they're balling, man. They're serious.
Dominated possession, 38 minutes, 21 minutes. Here's the best part, too, about this game yesterday. So the Saints on third down were 2 for 11. The Panthers were 8 for 15 on first down. That's almost a 50%.
That's Joe Brady efficiency, man. If you're not sold on the Panthers, they're going to destroy the Texans, like I just said before on Thursday. They're going to destroy them. But the Panthers are they're legit, man. They're coming. It pains me to say that, bro. I'm a Jet fan. I don't want to say these words at all. But, you know, I'm not going to be biased, and I'm going to call it how I see it.
You know how we're seeing, like, for a lot of these guys, you're looking for, like, that second-year leap, and some of them haven't taken it yet? Derrick Brown is a player who's taken it the first-round pick at Auburn last year. Because last year they went pure defense. But yeah. Also, too, Phil Snow, the DC, he's followed Matt Rhule wherever Matt Rhule's gone. He's been with Matt Rhule since he was at Temple. Then he went to Baylor with him. Then he went to Carolina with him.
Yeah,
he's doing great, man. Brian Burns is just an animal. He was able to get through the line so much yesterday against the Saints. Like, I feel bad for the Saints because, look, they had a great week one. The week two won't get into too much because, obviously, we're playing them this week. But we'll see how the boys from the Big Easy rebound going forward. You know how you were saying earlier with Green Bay, hit the panic button? You know how in movies a lot of times with the panic button, you see, like, it's a case and then, like, you have to lift the case up?
Yeah.
That's me with the Indianapolis Colts right now.
I agree.
0-2, man. The Rams have looked pretty good, man. Cooper Kupp is going to win people leagues this year. I know I said to you about Kyler Murray and, like, Tyler Lockett, man. Cooper Kupp is one of the most he's so underrated and so undervalued that I think people are finally starting to realize, hey, look at how good this guy is.
Stafford loves him too, man. He's getting all the targets as well. You know, like Kupp was if you pick Kupp this year, and I faded him, I had the chance and I did not take him. If you pull the trigger on Cooper Kupp over, you know, there were some good receivers on the board at that point, I'm sure. Good for you, man. Salute to you. Because that guy is absolutely balling right now.
Oh, dude, no doubt. Like, it's just, it's all the same thing with all these players where it's just right position, right time. Like the one guy in my league who's up a lot, yeah, like, Cooper Kupp is his receiver. Darren Waller, tight end, so last week was a good week for him. Russell Wilson, a QB. So, yeah, this is, for example, guys can help. But, like, look, it's the same thing, too. You say situational football, and it's great situational football with the Rams and Kupp. Meanwhile, with the Colts, I think it's partially credit to who they've been playing, but also credit to, like, they've looked okay, but they haven't looked great. And, like, this week three game against the Titans, like, I know it's September, but this is a must-win game for the Colts. If they go 0-3, like, your season's going to slip quickly.
Yeah, man. You know, to shine some positive light, our boy Michael Pittman did have a day, a clear day. But yeah, no. Wentz is down. I don't know how long Wentz is going to be out. You know, this has been his career, man. Just hurt, banged up. Even when he's not, you know, he hasn't been good in a little while. So I'm not really sure if the Colts want to move on, if they, you know, go to an 0-3 start. I mean, obviously he's going to finish the year, but I'm saying as far as next year, you know, if that's what they want to do. But what was the condition that they traded for the Eagles? They got a second round pick if he plays 70%, I think.
If he plays 75, so it's a second round pick right now, but it turns into a first if Wentz plays 75% of the snap. I think it's either snaps of total snaps for the year, yeah, or 75% of the games. It's one of the two. I know that much for sure.
So if you're Chris Ballard, man, and you're 1-5, you know, 2-7, you know, you really got to start thinking about it. Like, you know, we need this first round pick. You know, you like what is the point of starting once in that scenario? So that might play a factor, man, later in the season.
Yeah, this Detroit defense is costing me, man. Jones just keeps making plays. Yeah, no, you're right, though. At certain points, you guys got to think about your long-term future instead of your short-term future. And one team, and I like, apart from that, though, you're right. So I'm glad to see you're on the Michael Pittman hype train with Big Rad and I, because the day that kid becomes great, I just get to be here being like, yo, I've been singing his praises since his rookie year. Mm-hmm. And you can go back too, folks. We got the audio all going all the way back to last November. But that's giving nothing much. This next game, I think the Raiders-Steelers showed one of two things. One, that this Raiders defense isn't as bad as we thought. And two, I think Derek Carr is finally showing – this is the best setting Derek Carr has looked through two games since his 2016 season. But before we talk about the game, did you see the one fan in the stands and what happened to him?
No, I didn't.
The guy, you got to Google it. Apparently some guy like shit himself in those stands and then he was cleaning his pants out in the bathroom.
Oh, no. Steelers?
Yeah.
Fan?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yikes. Yeah. You know, I was telling you earlier, you know, I'm still not sold on the John Gruden Raiders yet. This doesn't mean I won't be. It's just, you know, it's not like I'm not saying, oh, they're 2-0, they're legit. I just need to see it happen more consistently. You know, you over the years, you've seen the Raiders beat some fucking good teams. They've beaten the Chiefs a few times, but they always find a way to regress, and they always find a way to play down to opponents. So they stepped up for the Steelers. I don't know how the hell they won that fucking Baltimore game, but you know, I want to see them do it against the Dolphins this week. And, you know, I'll throw a little bit more respect on their name. They're not bad. I'm not saying they're terrible or anything like that. But, you know, as far as today, I still wouldn't have them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I got to look this up right now because I'm going to send this to you over. I found the pictures through NFL memes. I'm sending it to you I'm DMing it to you on Twitter right now.
All right.
Yeah, I just sent it. But no, the thing with the Raiders is like,
oh my God,
yeah,
no way, I'm going home after that, bro. There's no way I'm fucking staying for that, bro. Wow, that guy is down bad, bro. Guy is down bad. The fact that someone caught him too and got the picture, good for you, bro. Wow, that is a first for me. I have not seen that before.
I know. One thing I'll say quickly too about this game. Man, easy money picking the Raiders to cover the spread. And the spread was like at 7 to begin with, and I'm like, the spread seems a little bit too high. I think people were a little too high on the Steelers after the win against the Bills. And you know what? The Steelers team is just weird, but the Raiders too. I know, like, look, I know we say a lot of those times they shouldn't have won this game, but you know what? That's the thing. They won the game. Like, even last year too, they almost swept the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, this team is not bad. It's just they always do this where they get off these electric starts, and then, like, mid-November comes, and they'll go, like, 3-5 down the stretch when they have to win.
That's exactly what I mean when I said that. But, I didn't even touch on the Steelers, man. A lot of people are fading the Steelers this year, and they're starting to look good. I know they beat Buffalo week one. I still don't know if that's Josh Allen regressing because he wasn't great yesterday, but you know, the Steelers, they're a beatable team. They're not the same Steelers. I don't think Najee's had a great start. You know, they have receiving talent, but Ben is just fading. So the defense got worse. I fade the Steelers this year, man, until they prove otherwise. Don't just bet on the logo.
Exactly. Like it's one of those things where it's like, look, I know Mike Tomlin. Like, that's the thing, too. Mike Tomlin started under John Gruden, was one of the coaches to begin with. But the big thing with this is, I know too, because the weird thing with Steelers fans is they'll start off by being like, you know, oh, hey, we're like, it's going good. It's kind of like you with Yankees fans. Like, you know how back in April, Yankees fans were like ready to fire Aaron Boone to cast him off? Yeah. And then the same ones were singing his praise and you guys won all those games in a row. Now it's like, you know what, clean house, Boone gone. I feel like Steelers fans are the same way with Mike Tomlin. Like, when the good times are good, but the bad times, it's like, you know what, get him out of here, F this guy. When the Steelers literally have had three coaches since 1969.
Yeah, super good analogy there, actually. I've seen fired. Tomlin's been fired by Steelers fans at least three times from what I remember.
Yeah.
You know, but they always find a way to pull him back in. I don't know. This year might be tough, but at the same time, everyone knows this is Ben's last year there. Everyone knows the rebuild is coming. You know, just play out the season, see what happens. If you somehow get into the playoffs, I don't think they will, you know, ride it out, you know, losing the wild card game, losing the divisional round if you happen to get there. But, you know, this isn't a special team whatsoever. We all know the rebuild's coming, and that's the future of Pittsburgh, man.
Exactly, because even too now, I know you have Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins, but you know you got to draft a quarterback. It's a new offense this year, too. Four of the five offensive linemen are new.
Yeah, and that's tough, man. That's, you know, you don't just throw four new guys on a line and expect it to work. So, I mean, I don't know if Najee's not doing too great because of that. You know, I know you said you were the first one to say that when the Steelers drafted Najee, they have no line. So I don't know what you really expect them to do. But, you know, like, you're going to have to go quarterback. I don't think you should mortgage your future on Dwayne Haskins. But if not, you know, you have holes. You gotta your defense is older. Your O-line is nothing. So we'll see, man.
Yeah, I knew to fade Najee even in fantasy because I know people were having him as, like, top 10 pick. And I was like, you know what, maybe second round, maybe third round, which is where he ended up going in a lot of drafts. But for the people who are saying, you know what, Najee, hey, he can make a top 10 like Clyde Edwards-Helaire was last year, I had Najee in that same category where it was just like, you know what, people were, like, singing this guy's praises, first-round pick. He was obviously a national champion, like mini Derrick Henry. It's just like what we say, situational football. And I knew going into Pittsburgh with that new line, with Pouncey retiring, Filer going to L.A., Alejandro Villanueva going to thing. And they, well, Alejandro Villanueva was different because Pittsburgh started to realize, look, he's not exactly good. Fuck off.
As Aaron Jones scores against Griff's fantasy team.
Yeah, RIP my team. That's the thing with the Steelers where I'm like, look, they have the Bengals next week. So if the Steelers win the games they're supposed to win, they'll be fine because, like, Bengals, but then, Packers, Broncos, Seahawks, Browns, and they have a bye week sandwiched in there. That's not exactly easy treading for them.
No. So, like I said, fade the Steelers.
Yep, fade the Steelers. And now next is the game everybody here wants us to talk about, Patriots at Jets. First of all, we'll get the fan who's actually at the game's perspective before we get mine.
All right, man. This is what we're here for. I don't know if you have any Jet fan listeners that listen to the pod or not. I know you definitely have Patriot fan listeners. So, from my perspective, like I told Griff before, Thank God he didn't have me on here after the game, because it would have been drunk Danny talking a lot of bullshit, a lot of shit I didn't really mean. But thank God I had this 24-hour grace period to, you know, process what happened and relook at the game tape compared to, like, a live, you know, watching it live. But, yeah, man, so we'll start. MetLife Stadium was electric, man. It hasn't been this loud in God knows how long. And, you know, a couple people I've talked to said the same thing. Like the energy was there. We're pumped. We're ready to see our rookie quarterback. You know, like, we got the Patriots in town. You know, you got the Jets on Twitter. Oh, you know, we need everyone at MetLife today. Like make sure you come out. You know, rightfully so. And everyone did show up, and we played our part. But from the second that Zach got the ball, it's not even like – this is what I think happened. I think the way they schemed this game, they went in with the game plan, was I think that he thought Bill was going to bring a shitload of pressure, a shitload of blitzes, and he was just trying to get rid of the ball. Zach, they played – the Patriots played man coverage. They dropped back, you know, and there was – guys weren't open straight up, and you know, there was a few balls where I'm sitting there, and I see the guy's not open. You know, Elijah Moore, the picks to Elijah Moore. I'm like, no, you're not going to throw this, Zach. You're not going to throw this. And Zach fucking threw the ball. So it was the decision-making on Zach yesterday, unfortunately. The O-line held up. It wasn't the O-line like it was last week. It wasn't the defense. It was Zach, unfortunately. But the silver lining here is the training wheels are off. You know, the playbook is fully opened, and after that performance, there's nowhere to go but up from here. And I know that's easy to say. You turn around, you go to Denver, who's just as good as the defense, if not better. We'll see. In Denver as well, might I add. And you have to prove. You have to go out in Denver. You have to prove that, you know, what happened was, you know, Bill Belichick against a rookie quarterback. You know, you got to chalk it up as that. You know, you look at what they did to Herbert. You look at what they did to everyone. So, I'm not out on Zach. It's a terrible performance. He did make some nice throws. They didn't matter because the performance was so terrible that, you know, who really cared? But you guys, as far as you guys, now, Mac Jones, this I said this to you earlier, is in the perfect situation. This is why landing spot matters, people. They remind me of the Patriots right now remind me of the Mark Sanchez rookie led Jets, but better. You know what I'm saying? They have the run game. He can lean on the run game. He can lean on that great defense. They're gonna get turnovers. J.C. Jackson is a bowler. Put respect on J.C. Jackson's name. That guy is up there with in the division with Xavier Howard. He's up there with Trey White. That guy's a bowler. He's been doing it for 2 years now. The guy gets interception. He turns the ball over. You can't throw it on J.C. Jackson. So you got a baller there. Where was I going with this? So Mac Jones has the training wheels on 100% right now. So like I said to Griff earlier, again, the Bills just beat the Dolphins. So I don't really, like, as far as the defense, you know, they destroyed the Dolphins' defense. So I don't know how much you want to put into the score of week one's game. But this game, when you turn the ball, you get four interceptions. I think there was like two or three turnovers on downs, and you know, you're just getting field goals, man. When you start to play the big boys, like the Buccaneers are coming in 2 weeks, you know, that game could get ugly if Brady pulls ahead by a few scores. So I wouldn't completely sell you on the Patriots, like, oh yeah, they're back. This is gonna be a playoff team. The defense is great, don't get me wrong, but we have still yet to see Mac off script without training wheels. That one lob pass he threw to Myers, great throw. He did that 2 weeks in a row now, but he's not doing anything impressive right now. He's just doing what the defense has given him. He's leaning on that great run game, but I want to see Mac in a situation. This is not a knock on Mac at all. Do not, you know, don't make me come off as a hater, you know, with this statement, but when everything comes off and when Mac actually has to play quarterback and be off script, because that's how you win in this league, we'll see what happens. As far as Zach, like I said, there's nowhere up but up to go from here. And you're going to get another shot in New England week 7. There's no way you can come into week 7 and do that performance that you just put up week 2. So there's a silver lining. As far as the defense for the Jets, wow. So I – thought the defense was going to be probably bottom two, bottom one, terrible defense. You know, like, you couldn't name a corner on you know, if you're an outside of a Jet fan, who the hell is this guy? We lost Lawson. Defense showed up, man. Salah's doing his part. He was hired, you know, as a defensive guy. Like, you know, that's the reason why he's an NFL head coach today, because of his defense. And 2 weeks in, his defense is showing up, man. I got to give it to him. You know, obviously, I'd rather have the defense suck and Zach Wilson put up points on the board, of course, any day of the week. But if there is some silver lining, there's that. Also, Michael Carter, man, the kid looked good, man. I've been waiting for this. I was getting a little nervous. I'm like, damn, you know, is Michael Carter, like, not that guy? But he was shifty. He was elusive. You know, he broke tackles. So I'm very happy to see that performance from Michael Carter. Those are the two silver linings I had from yesterday. But yeah, no, it was bad, bro. And when we were booing yesterday, we weren't booing Zach Wilson. We were booing the fact that it's the same old shit. You know, it's this, you sell us this product. You say, you tell us to come to the stadium. We're loud. We deliver the energy. You know, Zach was amped up yesterday. That guy was, I don't know if he had too much adrenaline, you know, like, and he just, like, his footwork looked off. You know, his mechanics were off. I don't know. I mean, I told him after the game yesterday, because I know where the players come out. I was like, yo, Zach, this ain't the fucking Mountain West no more, bro. And the guy, you know, he gave me a smirk. He knew, you know, he knew. He acknowledged me. He definitely heard. He heard what I had to say to him. But, you know, I'm still behind him. Still think he's our guy. Wasn't a good game. It happens. It's Bill Belichick. And that's what I want to look at it as right now, is it's Bill against a rookie. But, you know, we'll see in Denver, man. It doesn't get easier. Does not get easier next Sunday or this Sunday. So we'll see, man.
You know what? You nailed it on the head, because I was thinking the same thing too. I also heard Keyshawn Johnson say that on ESPN radio this morning, where basically they're all just like that. You know what, kid? You're not in the Mountain West anymore. You're in the NFL. You're not playing with 17-year-olds. You're playing with grown men with car seats in their car. Just got a drink of water. My big thing with him too was on a few of the interceptions, you saw it was just him chucking the ball to, like, get rid of it, because he knew the quarterback was coming after him. He's got to learn, look, you got to take the sack. It's like almost he's afraid to get hit, and you can't be like that if you're in the NFL. I know it's only a second game, and it can be scary, because, like, I can't imagine what it would be like watching just a 6'4", 250-pound and heavier guys, like, barreling down you, just trying to absolutely knock you off your feet. But at the same time, too, I know from my perspective, Zach's got to play smarter football or chuck it out or just throw it out of bounds. You can't do that, because there was two of those interceptions where it was purely that. He was just getting the ball out to get rid of it. And now you see that. It's, look, that's the rookie growing pains you got to go through. But Salah's got to coach him up, because for you guys next week, it doesn't get any easier with defenses. You got to go to Denver and play the Broncos.
Yeah, no, like I said, man, you know, and Zach just needs to learn that he is elusive. The kid's an athlete, bro. He can get out of the pocket. He can rush for a yard or two instead of, like, throwing it down the field, you know, like, completely punting the ball to the other team and arm punt. You know what I mean? Like I said, two of those throws I saw, like, I saw that from my seats, you know, 3-4 seconds before he had it. I was like, there's no way he's going to throw this ball, because I saw him looking that way. And the guy fucking throws the ball. I'm like, dude, man, you can't do that. So it's a learning process from here. A lot of quarterbacks you've seen that have failed over the years don't, you know, get past this mental hurdle, and they continue to turn the ball over. You know, we got to coach Zach up, man. Maybe it was right to bring in a veteran backup quarterback, because for something like this, but they chose not to. I understood why they didn't do it, but, you know, we have to see progress from here. You know, Joe Douglas is starting to get a lot of heat from Jet fans now too, and unfortunately, a little bit rightfully so, man. His draft class last year, there was only one active player on the game yesterday. So, you know, we'll go to Denver. We'll see what happens in Denver, and yeah, I mean, that's all you could really do.
No, you're right. Your audio dropped on my end for a second just because my speakers, just my AirPods decided to randomly connect. But okay. No, you're right. And then from my viewing angle of it yesterday, from you guys, it's like you just said, look, learn from your mistakes, learn from errors, but at the same time, too, you got to learn to develop on the fly. And then, like, I pretty much covered all the Patriots stuff in the post game, but the one thing I'll add on is just, look, they got to learn to capitalize offensively, and they can't just settle for all these, like, simple slant plays and everything. They got to learn, look, when opportunity presents itself.
Oh, my God. Oh, you almost caught that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. The I think that was Khalif Raymond.
Next play. That was almost the play of the year.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm just there right now. First TD pass allowed.
My bad. That was just that good. I had a little outburst there, but continue.
That's all good. Let's watch this play live. Let's see. Out of the pocket. Okay. Oh, my God.
Almost Odell'd him, man.
Oh, Cephas almost had. That would have been unreal.
Yep. That was literally Odell's catch right there.
Yeah, man, Kevin King is that King?
It might have been.
There's Savage, and then you know because Alexander, I think, is 21. I can't see because of the dreads, but I'm trying to figure out who that is.
Wow, Green Bay, man! Oh my God! Ice the kicker, people. Do not ice the kicker. It doesn't work. Big Rat has said it multiple times.
And he missed. He fucking missed. And they for those of you wondering, Danny's feed is ahead of mine. He's watching on ESPN. I'm on TSN, obviously USA Canada. But yeah, that's the only thing I have with the Patriots is look, they gotta learn that hey, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, and that you're gonna have to take the training wheels off eventually. Just let him ride the bike by himself.
And you do that just to add on, like you do that until it works. You have no reason not to. You won a game doing that. But I'm very scared for when Brady comes to Foxborough week four. Very, like, I think that could be a bloodbath, you know? And that's
part of me.
That's not the, huh?
I'm sorry, I was going to say this. Part of me can see that game going one of two ways. Either Brady kills us or we win, like, a extremely close, low-scoring game.
All I'm going to say is that the training wheels definitely have to come off that game, you know, because you're going to have to put points on the board.
Fucking Big Red, always right.
Sometimes. Don't give him too much credit now.
I'm tweeting that. But yeah, you know what? Like I said, I had to get the win. We got the win.
Yeah, man. I mean, on the upside, you know, it was cool to go to a game again for the first time in 2 years. You know, like, I don't thank God fucking that team didn't make a dime off of attendance from Adam Gase's team last year because they damn sure didn't deserve it. So, you know, it was nice to, you felt the energy. Like I said, the energy was there. Everyone was happy before the game. Everyone was excited. And, you know, it was flat, bro. It was just flat. And the only thing you could really point to was the quarterback. Honestly, it wasn't the O-line, wasn't the defense, you know, it wasn't special teams. It was that.
You know what? You're 100% right. But anyway, moving on, Vikings, Cardinals, man, Minnesota, I think Minnesota is another one of those fraudulent teams where we kind of thought, hey, you know, maybe they can make the playoffs this year, but I was wrong in them. Meanwhile, Arizona, I'm not labeling them contenders yet, but I want to take a look at their schedule because obviously beat Tennessee, beat Minnesota, Jacksonville, man, if they can get past the Rams, the 49ers, and the Browns with at least a 2-1 record, you got to start putting some respect on their name. And also, too, if he keeps up his current pace, man, Kyler Murray's in that MVP conversation.
Exactly what I was going to say. I was going to start it with Kyler MVP, question mark. The guy has 10 total touchdowns, I think. 8 passing, 2 rushing. Drafted him as soon as I could. I knew Kyler was going to ball this year. You know, what is the third? Is this his third year in the air raid?
Third year, yeah.
Air raid. Guy seems like he's mastered it. Rondell Moore, killing it. Christian Kirk, showing up. DeAndre is DeAndre. You know, their running game isn't elite at all. It's Kyler's just balling right now, man. So I am putting them as a playoff team today. I think they finally got shit together. I think Kyler is just carrying that team. He's balling right now. I think he can go out there at any given point and drive that team down the field and score. And you know, he's making amazing throws too. It's not even like, you know, he's given what the defense is giving him. He's making some baller throws. So I'm totally sold on the Cardinals right now. As of today, I have them in the playoffs.
You know what? I did too. I had Seattle out, which kind of pissed off some particular Seattle fan that we both know. But I still had – I always have been sweet on Arizona. I've always been like a bit of a quasi-Cardinal fan, if you will. So I'm just happy to see them keep growing and flourishing, and hopefully we'll see where this goes for the rest of the year. But you know what? If they keep this up, they're making the playoffs. And I've seen a few tweets about this, and I agree with it. Kyler Murray is saving Cliff Kingsbury's job right now.
Oh, for sure. But also, you got to think, like, sometimes, you know, these rookies don't come in and they're not Justin Herbert right away. You know, you gotta develop the offense, and it takes a year or two to master, you know, these offenses. And I think he's finally got it down now to the point where, you know, he's a reliable player, more than reliable, you know. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, like I've said before, if all four teams in the AFC West make the playoffs at all. So we'll see. It's going to be a fun division to watch coming down the stretch.
Yeah, and then with the Falcons, Bucs, I should say, I guess Bucs or the Bucs. I thought for a second, man, Atlanta was going to cover this, and then Tom just, like, said, no, nah, that's not happening, and then that's literally all I got. Like, man, the Atlanta Falcons, like, Atlanta's like that team where, you know how you said Pittsburgh rebuild's imminent, they just don't want to admit it? That's Atlanta. Like, Atlanta's far beyond that, though, where Atlanta has to rebuild. They're just pushing it all for some reason. I think this is the year you got to burn it down and then move on from Matt Ryan.
Yeah, just like the reason why is they fucked their future cap up, man. Thomas Dimitroff, you know, he went all in on a team that went to the Super Bowl, doubled down on it. Mortgaged their fucking future to keep that team on the field, choked, and now this is what you're living with, man. You know, like the positive upside for the Falcons is you drafted an absolute stud baller in Kyle Pitts. Throw the guy the damn ball, man. Target him every other play. I don't care. That guy is gonna win you at least a game or two this year. So, you know, like let's get Kyle Pitts going. Let's get the ball rolling on him. Guy's a baller. And, you know, and the Bucs were the Bucs. You know, they came in, they did what they had to do. But, I mean, there's not really much to say about this game. Everything happened how it was supposed to.
Can we talk about how bad of a guard Chris Lindstrom is? He was getting beat on so many pass protection plays yesterday. Like, just letting the Buccaneers and, like, Nunes Roaches and, like, Ndamukong Suh and Villa have just days against him. Where I'm just like, you can't do that.
Yeah, no, I didn't even really honestly pay too much mind to this game at all. Like, that's one of the games I skipped over with the highlights. But I'm sure, yeah, man, I'm sure. You know, Atlanta will be picking top five again.
You know what? Atlanta probably will be, and you can go get Spencer Howell. Because from what I heard, the Giants fans don't want him.
Who, Sam Howell from UNC?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know. Like the quarterbacks are just not separating themselves in college yet right now. You know, like, Radler hasn't been great. Howell hasn't been great. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But I don't think it's going to be as an elite class as people were going to think, you know, before the season.
Nah, there'll be guys there, but it'll be, like, they're guys. Like, you know, it's going to be, like, what's the class?
Pull the Jets and trade up, man. That's all I'm going to say. Give us your draft picks, trade up. We'll take them.
Yeah, you can ask Derek Stingley, because you do not need.
The thing is, I was super all in on Derek Stingley, but the quarterback has been the furthest thing from the problem with this team so far. So I don't even know if Stingley's the draft pick anymore. We'll see.
Exactly. Moving on next, Cowboys Chargers, same thing. I think it was just look, Dallas was the better at the end of the day when they needed to make plays. Dallas made the play that they had to win this game.
Yeah, very good win from Dallas, man. Not a lot of people picked Dallas this week, but I picked them. You know, they fucking fought hard with the Buccaneers last week to open up the season. Very good
win. Zeke.
Yeah, very, very good win. Pollard went off as well. Zeke went off. Dak didn't have the greatest game, but, you know, they found a way to win, man. Very good win from them.
I'm just looking right now. By the way, Zeke's rushing wasn't Tony Pollard had more yards. Tony Pollard was 13 rushes, 109 yards for one touchdown. Zeke was 16 for 71. Part of me, also, too, that's the other take I'm going to make right now is Chris Berman's fastest 3 minutes is up. Rondale Moore is the guy to not fade in fantasy. If he's available in your league, go get him.
Like I told you, yeah, man. And the thing is, bro, I had him and I dropped him. And now I'm hitting myself in the face for that. Guy is a baller.
Girl, I'm so tired. Happens to the best of us. There was a world where I thought maybe the Cowboys would get rid of Amari Cooper at the end of the year. You know, I'm starting to think that might be Ezekiel Elliott.
It has to be at this point, especially if Pollard outplays him for the rest of the year, like he just did. Like you gotta move on from Zeke. I don't know what the contract structure is and if you can move on from him, but you're not gonna. This is why people don't pay running backs. You're literally seeing it with Ezekiel Elliott. And if the Giants decide to pay Saquon Barkley, man, that franchise, man, they just make mistake after mistake.
They don't do that, Giants. Do not do that. See how he does this year. This is his third year, if you will. Man, this Damian Harris run. Woo!
Yo, yeah, that was a very impressive run, by the way. Very impressive run.
That's my RB1.
All those broken tackles, that was very impressive.
Yeah, and then, like we said, just impressive win. And then to Tennessee-Seattle, man, I keep saying this. I honestly see a world with Seattle where I think Russell Wilson will quietly try to get out of the team next year.
Hey, man, I'm the biggest Seattle hater. We own their first-round pick. I say this all the time. Funny, man. My phone died yesterday at the game, but I remember Alex was texting me the score. He screenshotted the score to me or whatever coming home from the game. And, you know, I opened up my phone when I finally got home, charged it, and, you know, I saw the final score, and I was just like, update? he was pissed, man. He was down. Alex was very emotional, bro. But, yeah, man, yo, the Titans needed this win. Derrick Henry, bro. Fuck. That guy went off. I need A.J. Brown to start going off, though. I really do. A.J.'s a baller. I thought this was going to be his year to be, like, you know, a top three receiver. Maybe not. But Julio showed up, Derrick Henry showed up, and they came back. They were down, 10 points in the fourth quarter?
Let me just take a look. Yeah, they were going to the fourth quarter, man. They were up 24 to 16. They got 14 points in the fourth quarter, including a touchdown run with 30 seconds left. Derrick Henry had a 60-yard run, and he had a 1-yard run.
Yeah, hopefully he fucking ran over Jamal Adams, too. I didn't really watch too much of the highlights, but, you know, Tennessee needed this win, and, you know, Seattle needed this loss for my sake. So, good result.
Oh, I bet you say that. I bet you love that. But love to see it. But then moving on now, last but not least, we got the last game of the day, folks. We have Chiefs and Ravens. Lamar Jackson, you know what gets that demon off of him of beating Mahomes. And one thing I got to say about this game, man, I have a hot take. The Kansas City defense, they've let so far 29 and 35 points. That's 64 points in your first two games. That's not a good look if you're looking to be a Super Bowl contender again.
Yes and no. As long as they get the ball back last, you know, that's what teams need to do. They just got to make sure they finish with the last drive, and that's how you beat Kansas City. Because their O-line is there, their offense is there. Tyreek didn't even do anything yesterday, and, you know, they still put up as many points as they did. But the Ravens, again, after that shitty loss last week, they needed this win. This is a huge win for the Ravens, man. Like, you can't underestimate what the hell they just did. You know, the Chiefs do this, man. When they lost to the Raiders early in the season, you know, they let a couple games slip by. They'll be fine. They're good. You know, they'll still be in the AFC Championship. Everything is fine. Nothing to panic about. But this is more so about the Ravens needing this win than the Chiefs, in my opinion.
I hate picking the Chiefs against the spread because last year, too, Chiefs were 7-9 against the spread, where I feel like you're going to get all these teams against just these obscure, like, or they're playing a team where they're high spread in their favor. Like, I'm going to pull up my app quickly right now just to check see if their spread for Sunday is listed. And right now, man, they're 6.5-point favorite over the Chargers, man. I think you got to... You gotta fade that. You gotta go with the Chargers on that one.
That's a division game, yeah.
Yeah, 6.5 for a division game. I do not like that. Like, if this was the Chargers of, say, like 2 to 3 years ago, yeah, you take that. But we know the two games the Chiefs and the Chargers played last year, especially the first one where Herbert started on 5 minutes notice, it went to overtime.
Yeah, man. No, like I said before, with the bad teams, how Vegas knows how to set up the spreads, it's the same thing. They're not gonna lose a shitload of money on teams like the Chiefs because they just know how to set these spreads like perfectly. I'll never forget last year. I bet on the Chiefs against the Buccaneers. I think it was like 3.5, and the Chiefs were fucking blowing them out to start the game, and then the Bucs just came back and covered that, and I couldn't believe it. So, yeah, man, I wouldn't touch that Chiefs spread. I would definitely touch that over though. Definitely, I don't even care what the number is. I would take it.
I think it's like 50. I think it's 55.
That's high as fuck too, and I'd still take it. I'm not going to take it, but I would. If I had to bet on anything on that game, that's what I would bet on.
I'm not either. The only spreads I'm looking at for next week, so I'll take a deeper dive into it on Thursday, but the only spreads I'm looking at so far that I like, And that's the only other thing I'll add to with before we go back to this game was just, look, Baltimore needed to get the win. Lamar Jackson, man, John Harbaugh, it's that Randy Marsh South Park gif with him just with his balls on the wheelbarrow, just balls of steel. Because I knew as soon as that Edwards-Helaire fumble happened, I was just like, man, I'm like, the Ravens are winning this game.
Yep.
Yeah, but no, looking at some spreads for next week, man, what I do not like is the Bills over the football team. They have the Bills at 9.5 so far.
9.5 over the football team. Wow. Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't touch that because Josh Allen still hasn't had a great performance. This might be the one, but I'm sure you're going to find better bets out there. I haven't even looked at the, let me see what I like next week. I got. I already gave you the Panthers. I think the Panthers are going to cover that.
Yeah, Panthers 7.5. I'm in a spread pool, so I have to pick them weekly. This week I was horseshit. Last week I was pretty good. I was 10-6 last week.
Not bad. Yeah, I'm in a money line, just straight up pick 'em league, doing all right there. Denver. Wow, they're giving Denver 11 points, man. That's high. I mean, I wouldn't recommend the bet on the Jets, but that is a very high spread. I don't think the Jets are that bad. But
the pick 'em between the Bucs and the Rams, like, man, the Bucs Rams game is the game I think everyone's gonna be like swooning over all week long. If whoever wins that game, you know, everyone's gonna be declaring, you know, the NFC favorite.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite game next week is definitely gonna have to be the Cardinals -7.5 against the Jags.
Yeah,
I think they're just gonna completely destroy them.
Yeah, I think that's easy money. I think Chargers cover 6.5. One I'm kind of tempted, or one that's, well, the one that's listed here that I kind of like too is the Cowboys at 4 points over the Eagles.
Cowboy-Eagle games are usually weird. Yeah, you would say logic says to take that. I probably wouldn't. But I like. If Wentz isn't playing, Tennessee -5, man. I don't see how the Colts are scoring, you know. So I think that's good. If I had to take an underdog money line for next week, I think I would go with. I hit the Panthers this week, by the way, over the Saints. That was a good one. I would go with either the Bengals. Over the Steelers or the Falcons over the Giants. One of those two. I promise you one of those two are winning.
For upsets, or?
For upsets, yes.
Yeah, the other one I like for upset is Minnesota over Seattle.
Yeah, I don't know what that line's going to end up at, but
it's at 1 point right now.
Yeah, I see it's at 1 right now. It might even go to Seattle -2, 2.5, but, you know, that's definitely a possibility, too. That Bucs and Rams game, that's going to be a good one. Wow.
The Bucs Rams, even two Dolphins Raiders, late sneaky good game too. We saw the one that happened last year.
Yep. And hey, man, hey, if the Packers lose this game, I don't think they're going to lose right now on Monday night. But they got the Niners going into San Fran next week. That might if the Packers open up as a favorite, I don't think they will. But you know, you might have to take San Fran there.
Aaron Rodgers is shit on the West Coast. Like, remember, it was 2 years ago, he went to L.A. and he got his ass kicked, and then he went to the Chargers 2 weeks later and the same thing. And then, man, they got beat in the AFC in the NFC Championship game in San Francisco.
Listen, I'm rooting for the Lions here. I just want to see Aaron Rodgers come and be like, relax. Again, just relax. Just like he did. What was that, 2 years ago now?
But I think it's been a bunch of years. All I know, too, is, look, this team has been to the back of the Super Bowl since I was in high school.
Respect to the Lions, though, right now. I did not think this game would be anywhere near this close.
Yeah, I knew it was easy money picking them to cover the spread.
Yeah, that was a good pick by you, bro. Very good pick.
Easy money. I didn't bet it, but I picked it in my spread pool. I'm like, especially after last week, too, I was just like, look, Green Bay's got to show me that they're a good team again before I pick them on the spread.
Yeah, and, you know, they're not proving anything right now at all.
Exactly.
I could have named you three Lions defenders right now on everything. I really couldn't, and you know they're Green Bay at 14 points.
I could. I know Alex Anzalone. I know Uzurike, and I want to say Michael Brockers.
There you go. I know Brockers. I know Okora because I wanted him in the offseason. And then
Romeo Okora as well.
Yeah, I don't really know anyone else.
There's Jeff Okuda, but he killed his Achilles last week.
Jeff Okuda, yeah. So like this defense is, you know, that's the Lions have a lot of needs, man. A lot of needs.
Yeah, their offensive line is their strongest part of their game right now. So they, if they can fix it, I feel like they'll be good, but we'll have to wait and see on them.
Super Bowl did well yesterday, or not yesterday, last week against Bosa. So, you know, people were panicking about him about in the preseason, absolutely panicking about his game too. But he's doing good, so good for them.
Oh, exactly. But anyway, folks, I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Danny, it was a blast having you back on. We'll have to get you back on soon, too. We'll do maybe get you back on before the next Pats-Jets game, which is only in a month from now, believe it or not. And then even there's some more opportunities to get you back on. But we'll just keep going forward and then see where everything goes.
Yeah, this was a fun one, bro. This is probably my favorite one that we did. But, yeah, man, always a pleasure. You know, if you're – I don't know how many Jet fans you have listening, like I said, but if you are a Jet fan, hang in there. It's not the end of the world. I know we've seen this story before, but I promise you it's going to be different this time.
Nah, exactly. You know what? Just keep moving forward and wish you the best of luck on every game except for the one on October 24th. Well, anyway, folks, that's going to do it for episode number 111. We're chugging to 200. Don't you worry. But thank you very much for listening, guys, and we'll see you back here for week 3 as Matt Beast is on here as we get you set for Pat Saints. And I may have some tricks up my sleeve for some other guests coming on, too. Have a good one, everybody.
Peace.
Do, did, will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.